You're listening to the Internet Advisor with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and Ed Rudell.
Thank you once again for being with us here on the Internet Advisor. Well, folks, a constant cry we hear from many of you who live in rural areas or even some areas in urban, not too far from big metropolitan areas, is you have a terrible time getting good Wi-Fi connection or a good broadband connection. With us right now on our phone lines from Texas and from Rice University is a young gentleman named Ryan Guerra. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the Internet Advisor.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Ryan, you are a grad student at Rice University, am I right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, you have been involved in this project, which is actually a collaboration between a number of places, between there was a federal grant given to Rice University and a local organization, a nonprofit, to get people in underserved areas connected with the Internet. Am I right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Now, could you explain, in as simple terms as possible, what the technology is that you're using to deliver this broadband speed to this previously unserved group of people?
Well, what we're using is modified off-the-shelf Wi-Fi equipment. And what we've done is the FCC in 2008 said that they introduced this new kind of regulatory scheme where we could share the airwaves with TV broadcasters when they're not using those channels for broadcasts in various areas.
That's what's called the white space, am I right? The white space, right?
Yeah, okay. They call it white space. TV band white space.
Okay. And then... go ahead.
And so what these frequencies are fantastic for radio equipment because you can send a signal very far. It'll go through trees. It'll go through walls. You know, that's why the TV broadcasters wanted it in the first place.
Right.
And so what our equipment does is we said, well, let's take off-the-shelf Wi-Fi equipment and let's modify it so that it operates on those frequencies. And if we go into a region and there are unused TV channels, you know, where the broadcasters aren't using those channels, we can use them for whatever purpose we want to, and it's unlicensed.
So you're talking about the old...
So what we've done is we've set up the system, a test system, in a underserved neighborhood in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And we've deployed this equipment and started serving people in their homes. You know, the test network is to bring everybody, see how well the technology works, what the limits are, and where we go from here.
Okay. So what did it cost you to modify this equipment?
So right now, we have to make a lot of custom equipment.
Okay.
You know, this market didn't exist before. And so, when you go to Best Buy, you buy a Wi-Fi router, you know, it's very cheap, under $100.
Right.
For our equipment, since we had to make a lot of things for ourselves, we had to custom order antennas, parts, filters, all this stuff, and put it all together. I'd say a node probably costs around just over $1,000 right now.
Okay.
So a node would be the broadcast point, or the node could be the what's in the house as well?
That would be both points right now.
Gotcha.
And
until
in the future,
since
this has become mass marketed, we could definitely see these go down to the price of what a Wi-Fi router would cost.
So, okay. Ryan, right now, basically, then, is what you guys at Rice University and you have done with the equipment is adapted it so that this can go through walls, go through trees, and it gets to, and by the way, the link at our homepage at internetadvisor.net is to an article in the Houston Chronicle that talks about the signal getting to Leticia Aguirre's house, right? Grandma Aguirre? Am I right?
Yes. Yep, that's right.
You install the equipment on her house. Now, Ed asked a question before. Is the key putting together the node at your end, or is it in the equipment at Grandma Aguirre's house?
It's the equipment on both sides. So for every radio, you need a transmitter and a receiver, and both of those is our modified equipment.
Okay.
That makes sense.
From her perspective, all she sees is a Wi-Fi hotspot in the vicinity of her house.
And so how far
have you been able to go? 5 miles, more than that, less than that?
So the original signal out to her house right now, as she's the first person, first user of this network, it goes about a mile to her house, and then it gets repeated locally as the Wi-Fi hotspot. So the distance off the shelf, no performance tweaks, nothing like that. where we're getting about a mile.
Still, that's very impressive.
Now, we got folks, these are first steps that are being taken, but the young man like Ryan Guerra, who's with us right now from Rice University, is in the process of developing something that could be, in the near future, incredibly valuable.
Absolutely. Especially, as Ryan was saying, in rural areas where there is enough white space. In some of the urban areas, there's too many television signals, so there's a limited bandwidth. But Ryan, we're out where you're testing this. There's lots of bandwidth, right?
Well, in the Houston neighborhood, we're actually close to the city.
Okay.
And so we do have a limited number of channels that we can operate on.
Okay.
But as a test network, that's pretty much all we need to figure out how well it'll work elsewhere.
Right.
So
okay.
In her house, Grandma Aguirre is seeing, as you said, she sees a hotspot. So if she turned on, for instance, her wireless laptop, she would just see whatever this is called, the super Wi-Fi, she would see that as a hotspot that she could tap into. Yeah,
just like, you know, you would have in your own house, only that goes 50 to 100 feet. This
right.
one goes well over a mile. And I'm guessing, Ryan, that with some tuning could go a lot farther than that.
Yes. And in fact, we know that it can go a lot further, especially when you take it out into the rural area where there are, you know, fewer trees, the land is flatter, you know, you don't have all these buildings and things like that.
Sure.
You could definitely shoot that signal for miles, potentially.
Now,
how far, you put the signals on the roofs of both of these facilities? Her house and...
Well, that's an interesting question. So our nonprofit, Technology for All, that we were pairing with Rice University and Technology for All, what we had before was a mesh Wi-Fi network in the neighborhood that was providing people with internet service, broadband internet service.
Ryan, excuse me. Explain mesh network for our folks. What's a mesh network mean?
I see. So for the Wi-Fi technology, as you mentioned, it only goes, you know, 200 feet, 300 feet. And if we want to get a longer distance link, we have to actually hop multiple hops. So
right.
one router talks to the next router, talks to the next router, talks to the next.
Okay.
And each successive hop lowers the amount of data that you can send over that network.
Okay. So you've got this to where it can go a mile in that first hop?
Yes. So what
okay.
we've done is we've taken out all those little hops in between and gone one long hop with super Wi-Fi.
And this is what we call super Wi-Fi because of its ability now to go a mile. And again, folks, who knows? And what I find fascinating is that it's even going to be better in rural areas where you have less of the TV stations around,
right.
and you have more white space available to make this thing fly.
Oh, exactly. And
yeah.
think of this. I mean, you have so many of the school systems in the area that are already, they have public internet access, but the communities do not because there was special grants made for that school system. You could throw one of these things up in a school system and imagine how many of the citizens in the area would live within a 1 mile, 2 mile radius of that school. And how many people that could serve.
Well, Ryan, we find this exciting because as a friend of ours who is at the exact opposite end of the country, literally, he is in the tip of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and you're way down near the Gulf of Mexico. He's way up in the upper, and he is using technologies like this to try to send out signals to neighborhoods using Wi-Fi.
I think he's using microwave, isn't he? Still,
I think
no. He's using modified Linksys with proprietary custom written OSs, and he hops it up to 100 milliwatts. Yeah, so he's using standard equipment that's off the shelf, just modified firmware.
So,
but because it's on top of a mountain,
boom, he's got. All right, Ryan, what do you folks think? What do you and your professors down there think about when this will be available in a stronger and more viable form?
Well, there are a couple of issues, regulatory issues that the FCC has to work out. You know, how precisely are we going to share these frequencies with TV broadcasters, make sure that we don't interfere with anybody's TV reception?
Right.
And so those details are all being worked out. And I think we could see products maybe by the end of this year, beginning of next year for ISPs, and then general products at least in the next 5 years.
Wow.
Now, Ryan, I wanted to ask you something. Because we went from the conventional television broadcast signals to the digital broadcast signals, wasn't all that space made available?
Yes, that's actually what made this possible. And so back when we made the switch from analog TV to digital TV, the digital transmissions are much more efficient. So we could pack more number of broadcasters into a shorter amount of the
right.
spectrum.
Right.
Which
okay.
has become enormously valuable today.
And then it leaves more of that white space open then for your folks to use.
Oh, precisely. The FCC sold some of that white space back a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and it sold for around the order of $16 billion.
I didn't see any of that.
And so we get to use that essentially for free. So that's,
oh, you get to use it. That's great. The cool thing about you folks get to use it. Okay. Ryan, you go, man. We want to see this technology working and working for miles and miles and miles. So congratulations on what you've gotten done so far. And congratulations to the folks at Rice University and to the nonprofit you've been cooperating with. Take care of yourself, Ryan. And thank you so much for being with us on the Internet Advisor.